session is entitled Obesity Prevention Programs, and I'm not going to talk about obesity prevention per se or programs, but it certainly relates to healthy eating and active living, and in that way, obesity. So I'd say this is probably part B or part two of Virginia's talk early on about really pushing more upstream on active living and healthy eating influences. I'm a project officer for Active Living by Design, which is located in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And that means I provide technical assistance to a number of sites around the country trying to promote physical activity and healthy eating through community design. There's the overview. I want to save some time and not go through this in detail, but there's a concept that the second large bullet there, integrating active living and healthy eating. I'd like to take this one step further from what Virginia was talking about in her overview is, what does it mean to bring the two active living and healthy eating efforts together? So when they're done in the same initiative, by the same partnership, where are their synergies, where are their opportunities, and where are their challenges? Same Institute of Medicine document that Virginia mentioned, there are a couple underlying key terms there I'd like you to draw your attention to. That pushing upstream is going to require the involvement of multiple stakeholders, and they also highlighted the importance of organizational and policy change. So we cannot address obesity or physical inactivity or unhealthy eating by just focusing downstream on the individuals. We really need to, that's what we mean by pushing upstream, if anyone has missed that analogy, and you probably use it yourself in your practice. Our organization started in 2003. We were put on the map by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to just focus on active living by design. Active living through policy and environmental approaches. That's a term that has come along in the last, 10 years maybe. The CDC and a number of researchers have thrown it out there to start describing, characterizing what it means to be upstream. So you can see we were across the country. And in 2005, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation gave us additional money to give about half of those partnerships some pilot money to say, okay, you have a model for promoting physical activity. What can you do with healthy eating? So to really push upstream and go beyond just incentives and promotions and programs. Also in 2005, we had other funders knocking on our door. Blue Cross Blue Shield Minnesota, North Carolina, said, help us make grants for active living and some for healthy eating. Also in 2005, the North Carolina Health and Wellness Trust Fund, which was referred to a couple slides ago, that's our tobacco settlement money. They asked us to help them develop a fit community program. So they wanted a designation process where communities would fill out a community assessment on active living and healthy eating and submit that for some designation that could actually become a road sign that is posted as you drive into that town. There's also a complementary grant program that goes with it. And then in 2006, last year, we started working with Kellogg Foundation on something called Food and Fitness. Kellogg's been working in food systems for quite a while, so we have a lot to learn from them. But they wanted to take on the fitness side of the equation, so they are working with Active Living by Design as their consultant, and we're on a team of technical assistance providers to these 9 sites. So I have a disclaimer. The strategies and tactics you're about to experience are not clinically proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. But it's consistent with the community guide, and those of you who are physical activity practitioners have probably seen this. Community Guide for Preventive Services is something that CDC helped put together some years ago and keep building on evidence. It really tries to set a high bar and by category, by tobacco, substance abuse prevention, physical activity. I believe there's a section on nutrition, but it's very light when I looked at it last. And there are quite a few items in there that they feel comfortable in recommending. There are enough good studies of certain rigor to recommend different strategies. An example is point of like elevator signs that say take the stairs because it's good for your health. Those are easy to study and they've passed some muster. So that's a recommendation they can make. This is what we call our 5P strategies. And we ask all of our grantees to employ these methods in their work plans and in their proposals. So to us, this is the basic action plan, and this really simplifies it down to these five strategies. It's much more complex than this, and it's not that linear. These all interrelate, but to just break it down, partnerships, because we're talking about multi-sectoral work, like the Institute of Medicine said. Promotion, these are your accessing the media, letters to the editor. Programs, these are what we've traditionally, public health has sort of started and ended with programs and promotions, at least around health promotion. Policy has been big in public health for years, for many decades, turn of the century. We have a great legacy of policy work, but not so much in health promotion. That's really new for us. And physical projects are when you step outside in the built environment, what do you see? Example for active living are greenways and park space. For on the health eating side, there are gardens and farmers markets. And now I'm going to give you a handful of community examples, and hopefully I won't run out of time. One of our grantees is in Louisville, Kentucky. They have a partnership of a number of excellent organizations. Our grant started in the Metro Housing Authority, really on the active living side. And the Housing Authority was just about to apply to the federal government for a HOPE 6 project, and they got it as they got our grant. And so that partnership we had really helped influence the redesign of a public housing facility. So now it's really an activity-friendly center. Some of their partners include the Mazeek Middle School and the Transit Authority of River City, Presbyterian Community Center, neighborhood associations, the mayor's office, the health department. They've also been involved in doing gardening. So they started out as an active living partnership, were given some additional pilot money, and became an active living and healthy eating partnership. In Seattle, a partnership of a pedestrian organization called Feet First, Seattle Public Schools, and Seattle King County Public Health through their STEPS initiative created healthy eating maps. So looking at T.T. Minor Elementary in the center, you can see these walking, about rough walking times that go out in concentric circles. On the map, you can see markets and convenience stores. There's a farmer's market on there, and a little key with some explanation on the back showing where you can find healthy items. These were given to children to take to their parents who were involved in this program at T.T. Minor Elementary. So this promotional piece right here integrates active living, the walking, and the healthy food. Programs. This is a Kelly Elementary after-school program where kids are taught how to build garden boxes, to build gardens and grow. They're also taught how to fix, maintain, and ride bikes. And the key message for both of these, the educational theme, is on balance. So obviously I can see it fit on bicycle. You want to have good balance. But really balancing the two risk factors we're dealing with. Back to Seattle. Also at T.T. Minor, they had some in-lunchroom activities where they're providing healthier food. You can see those are walking school buses, if you haven't heard that. Virginia mentioned Safe Routes to School. That's one element, the programmatic element, to get kids to walk together in packs so parents feel safe that there's someone supervising and walking with them. And that's obviously Seattle because it's very foggy on that morning. Now, by the way, in Seattle, if you notice that power line, what they've done is they've taken the easements from the power lines and they put greenway trails all throughout them. It's public space. Well, it's actually belongs to the utilities, but they have made it into public space, and people walk on them all the time. It's just a creative opportunity for creating spaces for physical activity. Getting to policy. Virginia mentioned the Enact policy database. You can find all kinds of examples in there. So my hat's off to the Prevention Institute for putting that together, and it's growing and growing. Most of the policies that are in there are from California, so it'd be nice to really see that build up and include other states. As she had mentioned, all communities, counties, municipalities have a comprehensive plan, a general plan that has your principles and your goals as a community. And it's no surprise that you see bicycling, walking, land use. But in Madison, in their more recent updates, have added things such as community gardens. And they have They have actually gone as far as set an indicator of one garden site for 2,000 households. They're also trying to create, they've created a food council that's developing policies to help connect local food growers to consumers. Communities also have specialty plans, so a bicycle plan, a greenway master plan. Santa Monica, they have a sustainability plan, and they've incorporated healthy eating and active living into that. They have they stipulate in there they're trying to increase locally grown produce in city facilities, schools, and hospitals. And there are also pedestrian and bicycle provisions to reduce carbon emissions. So this is putting on our greenhouse gases, our green lenses, so to speak, and bringing healthy eating and active living in that way. And I think that's something for the future that's going to, it gets the attention of mayors and elected officials about reducing carbon. So if we can get more of our produce locally, more of our food locally, less carbon, if we can replace some small, short trips in cars by bicycling and walking, it will also be helping accomplish those goals. It's not a big logic leap for people who are interested in carbon, reducing carbon, to see more people on walking and bicycling. This is a park in Holyoke, Massachusetts, just an example of co-location. So there's a garden there on the bottom left. It's also up there on the right next to that reddish building. It's also a spray park for kids in the summertime and like a sprinkler and a renovated playground space. So this is where families can come together. It's multi-generational potentially, and it's got healthy eating and physical activity in one location. This was previously the domain of gangs in Holyoke, and the city made a major investment with community development block grant. Community members, community organizations came together to really renovate this park, and it's much more of an amenity now than it ever had been. Think about maximizing these synergies between the two, physical activity and healthy eating. On the right is the food project in Boston where teens grow the food in community gardens, and then once a week they sell it in a market square. What's active living about this? The market is a beautiful market square. That's a destination, so people will walk there to get their produce. So that's the thing we have to remember about grocery stores, restaurants, gardens, markets are destinations, and we should think about how walkable they are. And then on the left, hats off to public health nutritionists for getting farmers markets to take WIC vouchers. That's what that sign is up on the left, hanging down. We take WIC vouchers. There's a little active living clue in that picture too. On the left, she's pushing her cart to and from home to go to the market once a week. Seattle has a program that they're pilot testing, a walk-to-shop social marketing effort, where they're involving the grocery store, the senior housing facility that's several blocks away, and the Seattle Department of Transportation to make the pedestrian connection safe, and they're purchasing a number of those carts that and the housing the housing facility has agreed to keep them, have a place for them. The grocer has agreed to have a place to keep them as well. So it's this partnership between the three agencies. And my last community is back to Louisville. This is a community gardens are also opportunities for synergy. You're getting fresh produce from the garden, but kids and adults are working very hard, at least during the growing season, to make the food. This one was a donated piece of land by a church, St. Peter Claver. They overcame enormous obstacles. They got this wonderful piece of land, and they said, great, this is our matching for our grant. Can we turn it into a garden program? We said yes, and they came back and they said, it's full of lead. Like, it was in almost every urban city in the United States has major lead soil problems. So they ended up, they were thinking, we're going to have to do container gardens or something else. And they just talked to enough people with the relationships they had by having a partnership to someone work for the sewer district. And they had grant money that was unused. And so they were able to remediate the soil and find another grant they didn't think they'd have to find. But it was a perfect location. And they get there like, we can't use it because it's full of lead. So a great success story. A science teacher, it's a block over from the middle school. Science teacher got into it, and the kids really came behind. So a great success story. Last month, they just put up a pavilion that will serve as an outdoor classroom. Take-home messages, partnerships can integrate, so it can be done to look at both healthy eating and active living. But you need to think about the collaborative processes and structures to make it work, because some people who come to the table, an example is a transportation engineer, they're not there for healthy eating. They might not even have the support of the organization to be there, more importantly, aside from their interest. So we need to think about how they can give their so-called one-sided input to the best of the overall initiative. So think about ways to do that. And then the last point is to look for synergies, but don't force yourself to stay with synergies. So don't only do trails going to markets and that be it. I think there's an argument to be made to really go deep on an area like improving intersections just for that sake, for walking's sake, and not just around healthy eating establishments. So, but there are some things certainly that you can maximize. And that's it. I have some other resources here if you're interested, but I think my time's up. There's our website.